U-shaped curve has been shown a lot of times for alcohol-related issues, comparing abstainers versus non-abstainers.
And, right.
You know, I think that it's probably, and they say this in the paper, that there are social factors, et cetera, that might be playing into this.
I mean, there are biological bases for J-shaped curves. It may be an instance where it's a false association because of selection bias.
Right. And, well, people who abstain, I mean, can be abstain for lots of different reasons, one of which is that they're, you know, religious fanatics or, you know, just crazy.
Well, along that line, there, you know, there's the argument that people that do things in moderation.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you either.
How about now?
Jim, is that you?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What I was saying is that you know, some people believe that people who do things in moderation, whatever it is, tend to be moderate in other things. That left breast problems, then sometimes somebody who doesn't do something at all seems to be pretty up a high number of weight, and that could have more negative than moderate.
It also may be that the women who drank during pregnancy, knowing what they know now, are, because it was all maternal report, are augmenting their kids' behaviors so that they don't feel as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are lots of reasons. So. All right, so it's Michael, Jim, Ed. Anyone else, Tom?
Yeah.
Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Boy, this connection is bad, Ed.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise from someplace. I can barely hear you.
But I'm in my car, and I'm going to mute, okay? That should improve. Hold on.
Are you having trouble hearing me?
No.
There's just some noise coming from someplace. It's better now.
Okay.
Ed, Dale Harold from NIAAA is here also.
Hey, Dale.
Hi.
All right.
Jennifer.
Jennifer Thomas here. Is here.
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
All right, so I have myself, Michael, Jennifer, Kathy, Dan, Jim, and Dale. Anyone else?
Tim.
Tim Cudd?
Yeah.
Hongzo. Hey.
Informatics score here.
Pardon?
Informatics score.
Okay.
I was here. I don't think Bill went in there on the call.
Okay. All right. Well, that's about everybody. All right, so some updates. Jill, do you want to discuss any updates about the meeting?
Yeah, I got an email last night that we're going to get the contract, and there's going to be a link to the hotel that should be ready this week. So I'll be able to send you a link that you'll click on, and then you'll be able to reserve your rooms that way.
Okay, and for a variety of reasons, mainly my house renovations, I'm going to ask everybody to pay their own and then get reimbursed. My credit cards are kind of maxing up. So if the people can pay for their own airfare and hotels, well, maybe the hotels by then I'll be in better shape, but at least for their airfare, and then we'll get you reimbursed off the admin corps. The speakers that have been confirmed so far, the guests that have been confirmed, are Hannah Kinney from the PASS project and Peter Hammond, who's coming to talk about computerized facial recognition in teratology, and he's coming over from the UK. We also hope to have someone who does very similar work come from University of Indiana, and so we're going to have that probably on the joint meeting. We may also try to get some of the local people from North Carolina to come in who can discuss nutrition, but we want to see what the agenda fills up like before we do that. I guess the are there any questions about the meeting? Okay. The second item on the agenda is this article that came out in the International Journal of Epidemiology, and hopefully you all have a copy of that or received a copy from Jill. It's on light drinking in pregnancy, a risk for behavioral problems and cognitive deficits at 3 years of age, question mark. Basically, this paper showed some slight benefits, particularly among males, of being exposed to very, very low levels of alcohol during gestation, on average once a week, and maybe as little as one or two times during pregnancy. But they showed some beneficial effects, and the paper is getting a lot of press. It was on Fox News. I've received calls from NOFAS in the UK, Moira Plants Group in Bristol, and then I know Feng Zhao has been involved in considering writing up a rebuttal or a response to this paper.
Yeah, we'll consider a statement.
Pardon?
We'll consider a statement either to release or put in the website.
Right. So I just thought we'd bring it up to see if anyone had any comments or wanted to make any suggestions about what we should do, if anything. I'm not so sure that the paper is all that problematic, but I just thought we'd throw it on the agenda to get your ideas. We're going to talk about it on the clinical group as well on Friday. So does anyone have any comments about this?
Well, Ed, I think we do need to respond to it. I'm not so sure that the response needs to be directed at the paper itself, but my real concern is the synopsis that was provided on the cover of the email that was written by this Tim Moynihan, I guess a physician assistant, PA, whatever, because my concern is not what their data showed, but the interpretation that light drinking may actually be beneficial.
Right.
I think that there needs to be a clear distinction made there between what the report is saying, and I don't think the authors actually advocated that it was beneficial. This is an interpretation, but this is what the public will see here. And I do think that, the various alcohol groups working on this area need to have some kind of consensus response to this if we can manage it.
Do you think that should come from us, or do you think it should come from the FAS study group?
Well, certainly it could come from the study group with an indication of the other organizations around the country that are, doing programmatic research in this area, an indication of who else besides FASD study group is concerned about this. But the question would be is what would be said and who would actually orchestrate the writing of this and where would it be communicated to? Because
we're looking,
I think,
we're looking for a few writers that together, including clinic and basic science, and right now it's open for who would be interested to contributing for this. I'm thinking about Ed, if you bring this up in the clinic group, perhaps we need one or two clinic persons. And what I would see is that provide a balanced statement that including data to address these issues.
Well, I kind of agree with Dan. I think the paper kind of stands on its own. But it was that commentary that came out about it, to try to provoke some headlines that was kind of misleading. Dale, has NIAAA gotten any comments or responses about this? Any inquiries?
None that I'm aware of. I don't know if Ken is on the line to comment, but we should have a discussion about that here.
It's Ken's second day, so as director, so he's probably
yes.
All right. Well, I'll bring it up in the clinical group and see what they say, and if I can get some people, Fung, I will put them in touch with you about writing a response to that commentary, and maybe the paper as well. Any other comments on that paper? An item that's not on your agenda that we need to discuss is the developmental projects. It is now in our we're in our second year, and we have developmental projects that are scheduled to begin in the third year, and we have about $200,000 in direct costs to solicit and fund applications, and we can fund as few as two at $100,000 apiece, or we could fund four at $50,000 apiece. And we still have the two projects that were funded initially, which are Jennifer Thomas and Andy Hull, and those will continue as well into the third year. So I would really like some ideas and suggestions about people to invite to submit proposals. We certainly have the group from BCU, Alex Medina, who's very interested in applying. I've gotten a few other inquiries about it from individuals at Brown University. So if people have any ideas or suggestions they want to discuss now, that would be great. Or they could certainly email me any ideas about how you want to go about soliciting them. We typically send out a note to the RSA membership and to the FAS study group membership. The online submission procedure will probably be the same as it was in the past. It's an initial letter of inquiry telling us what they want to do, and then we kind of... last time, Jim West chaired a committee that went through those applications. We then had them review it, and then we made our decisions. But as you know, our decisions last time were to keep it within the current project. So we didn't really fund very many outside proposals. So are there any ideas on the developmental projects and how to proceed?
What's the timeline, Ed, for processing these applications once you send out an RFA?
I'd like to give them a couple months to respond, maybe 2 months to, first response is basically just a letter that they're interested and a basic plan of what they want to do so that we can see if it fits into the consortium and adds to the consortium in some way. Last time I think we did that, we got 18 responses back. And we narrowed it down, and then we solicited a 10-page application from a smaller number of applicants, and then those are the ones that Jim reviewed. I think, Jim, what did you review, about six or seven?
Yeah, I think it was seven.
I guess Jim's not there anymore.
No, I'm here.
No, he's here.
Do you remember how many you did last time?
I think it was seven or eight. I think seven.
So... if we gave people about a month or so to submit an initial inquiry and then maybe a two-month period, so that would be, let's say we had them due by January 1st, and then we gave them till March 1st to submit, we could review them in April, May, and then we would fund them starting in September 1st.
Okay.
So if people have ideas of individuals they'd like us to personally or me to personally contact, I'd be happy to do that. Just email me, and we can go from there. Does anyone have any ideas about funding more at less money or fewer at $100,000 a shot?
And that's, I think it'd probably be easier to make that decision once we see what kind of projects people are proposing.
Well, yeah, but I think we have to let people know that...
Well, one of the things is if all the letters of intent are due by the end of December, then If there's time to collate them and quickly review them before the January meeting, it could be a discussion item about, you know, the final size and other things, numbers that we would consider at the January meeting, and then the follow-up can go out to the people that you're going to request the 10-page application from.
Okay, so a more generic statement then that goes out saying that we can fund applications somewhere in the range maybe between 50 and 100K?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for the letters of intent, and then I think you'll have the information you need to make a final decision on that.
Any other comments on those developmental projects? Some updates. I got an email this morning from Tina Chambers about the BDRA paper, and they are going to put that on hold. They are decided not to do it. The editor decided that of the topics that we submitted to them, that only about five of them looks like they fit the description of the journal focus. She thought that that wasn't enough for a special issue, since they wanted to have about 10 papers. And they thought that since Charlie also has a special issue coming out, they decided to postpone it until next year. So people who did submit proposals, if they have other outlets for their work, they should probably go that way. The editor, Ann Juroloff, thought that the neurobehavioral findings fit better into a neurobehavioral teratology and toxicology journal. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen, so people who want to submit their papers elsewhere should probably go ahead and do that. Any questions on that? Charlie, how's your special issue coming? Charlie's not there. Okay, how about we do some project updates? Informatics, anything new going on there in the basic science realm?
Not really. It's doing like released like a new like a version of like the what's the name of that thing? The expand like an alcohol for a new like an input tool that I think is being looked by Sarah and her group.
Right. Yeah. That I know the basic science has not really utilized the informatics core until we get the clinical group up. But I just didn't know if anyone had been in touch with you about getting any information, et cetera.
No, not really.
Okay. Feng, you want to update us on your project?
We're pretty much just filling up the analysis of the micro-CT and micro-video. We were trying to get the numbers that the high and the statistic analysis is going on. So we are just from this month just trying to engage to try to finish enough for one or two papers for submissions. That's what we've done in the last month.
Okay. Jennifer?
So the choline deficiency study, we're just continuing our final data analysis and starting to write up that data and continuing with our choline supplementation study. We should actually be done treating subjects for that second study before the holiday.
Kathy?
We're continuing to segment away. We submitted our first paper, which is the day 8 exposure time, and have not heard anything back yet about that. As soon as we finish doing a couple more days, and they're almost finished, students are finishing up stuff, we're going to start on Feng Zhou's animals, which is the chronic exposure. We have them scanned but haven't been able to start segmenting them yet. I have one of the students who is getting bored with segmenting the brains, and we have an exposure time that we expect is going to make heart defects as well, so we've started to image the heart, and I hope I can show you that in January. One thing that we found recently in reviewing some of our day 7 exposure times is some really cool stuff going on that I really didn't expect for that exposure time, and that includes some really bizarre cortical heterotopias in a couple animals, and they weren't really the most severely affected ones, and so I think that's pretty cool that you can treat acutely really on day 7 before you've got any indication of a cortex. You're just basically starting to induce your neural plate and end up with cortical heterotopias. Does anybody have an idea why that would be happening?
What about changing the expression of molecules that are important for guidance?
Well, I don't know if a day 7, this would, like I say, a day 7 exposure would be like a week 3 exposure in people. And we're looking at these on day 17, which would be, you know, so much later. I don't know when they would start forming, but they're really obvious on day 17. I don't.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm thinking is that something in the phenotype of the neural progenitor cells that are going to differentiate into neurons,
yeah,
may be altered in a way so that they can't follow directions properly.
Yeah, could be. I mean, it would be really cool. I think it's just such an interesting observation that
it's long before migration, so
on
sort of physical interactions. But on the other hand, you may be changing the phenotype of the eventual neuronal cells that do migrate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. So I know that in the autopsy studies that were done a long, long time ago by Majewski or Mievsky, I don't know how you pronounce that, he described heterotopias in FAS kids. I think some of those heterotopias are, in fact, on the ventricular side. But these that we're seeing are on the cortical side.
There's a group of proneuron gene could be vulnerable to the alcohol insult, including those neurogenins and helic genes. They are could be a target and could be mediating some neural differentiation, including glial cells problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I expect there's a problem with the glia and the, you know, how the neurons get signaled to start to migrate out to where they're supposed to be. Like this, I wonder how similar it is to a double cortant mutation.
That's a good one. Did you find radial glial cells could be in any affected?
We haven't looked at that. We have the brains are cut, and we're just doing routine histology on them now. So I don't know. It'll just be really interesting to see even what that routine histology looks like.
Right.
Okay. Tim?
Yes. We've begun our clinical MRI work, and I think we're ready to do the high field stuff on our next animal that comes through and there on out. Facial measurements, I think we'll have enough of them for me to be able to report on them at the January meeting, and as well as on some of our functional measures. And that's kind of where we are.
Okay. What's going on with Andy Hull coming down?
He is scheduled to come here on the 14th and 15th of January, and we'll have a collection of staged animals for him and I to ultrasound, see if we can identify the landmarks in the fetal brains.
Okay. So that the administrative corps arranged that, so that's all taken care of, right? We don't have to do anything else on that?
I believe that's right. He's working on your end to get that flight scheduled. That's my understanding. And
Jill, do you know if that's been taken care of?
Pardon me, I missed the name that was said.
Andy Hall, going down to Texas.
The last thing that I had was that they were waiting for the dates, but he has been in contact with me.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we've settled on the on him working with me on the 14th and 15th, so I'm not sure what his travel dates would be. I think he's on the 13th is the travel date, and the 15th is the travel date.
Okay, I'll email him right now.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Charlie Goodlett presumably emailed me a tissue bank report, but I have not received it.
It was just emailed out. Charlie's fighting the battles in Indiana today, apparently, and but he just sent a four-page report by email, so I just ran a copy of it off.
Okay,
so it's there.
He's out manning the polls today. So.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are long lines here already. So. But it hasn't showed up in here yet. Oh, here comes something. Nope. All right. So I can't give you that report. Dan, if you have it, is there anything that you scan through it to see if, that we need to know today?
I'm looking to see how different it is from the draft that we had a month or two ago. Or at least I did. Was that circulated, the draft, before?
No, the last one we got was in June.
Okay. Let me, it's going to take, I just ran it off, so.
All right, well, give it a quick glance and see if there's anything. The other, only other item that I have is I'm wondering if people would be interested if I put together maybe four or five talks and submitted an RSA symposium. Or if someone else would like to handle that, they're going to be due early December, and you could certainly put one in highlighting the work of the CFAS. Do people think that's a reasonable idea?
I think that's a good idea. We have to figure out how to focus it to know how it should be handled, whether it should be a mixture of basic science and clinical or focus on one or the other, or even have two symposia representing the work of CFAS. But I think we should be showing this stuff in the same way that COGA has over the years for their work.
Yeah, and I think we have enough now that we could certainly do that. All right, so I'll send out an email to everybody, all the PIs. And it's not necessarily that I want to do it, but I will throw the idea out there and see how many positive responses we get back, and then maybe decide on who should be the person submitting or organizing it and putting it together.
Just so you know, Ed, that I've talked with Cynthia about the possibility of a biomarker symposium, and it's possible that elements of CFAS might be part of that as well. We just haven't gotten together organizationally about it yet, but we talked about it this summer and once in September, so that's the only thing that I'm aware of that might overlap and relate somewhat to CFAS.
Well, I think it's mostly recognized. RSA has been coming up a little short on the FAS symposium in the last year or so, and so I think it might be appropriate time to get it in. So. And I think we have enough now, and I think we have to start getting our stuff out to the alcohol field other than through just publication to kind of become like a COGA and have more presence. The only other the note is we're going to try to keep the conference call at this time through 2009. So add those to your calendars. January 1 will be in North Carolina, so we won't need that one then. And unfortunately, Andrea Bauer, who was about the most efficient person that I've ever had working at the foundation on these things, decided she accepted a new position with the state. So she's no longer there, and we only have a temporary person for right now. So if you have any problems with subcontracts or things like that, get in touch with Jill, and then Jill will find the appropriate person and get them onward. But it's been a big loss to lose Andrea. She's been really extremely efficient at getting all this stuff done and carryover requests and all that stuff. So just we'll have to use Jill for right now, and then she'll get it to the right person. Any comments from the Science Advisory Board or NIAAA? Dan, Jim, Dale?
None additional beyond what we've already said. Ed, I'd be happy to try to coordinate this response thing with you and Fong and Jim and Dale, perhaps, from NIAAA if we see that we want to do something here. I'd be happy to at least be the point person for that at this point.
And we are
looking better coming from CFAS.
Well, I think that the FAS study group is putting together something. So whether we
okay, yeah. Well,
and
well, let me talk.
Join us. Would you join us? What this cost?
Well, how about Fong, you and I just talk about it on another conversation here very shortly, and then just communicate that back to the group.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a meeting on Thursday. I'll send you an email.
Great. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Jim, any comments?
Nope.
Nothing
about
Dale?
No extra comments here. Looking forward to the meeting in January.
All righty. And Kathy, we've been in, I think Jill's been in touch about, having Fulton and everything, and that'll be fine.
Okay, that's nice. Thank you.
All righty.
Oh, hold on. This is Jill. There's one thing on the agenda item. If everyone can just email me their flight itineraries, we're trying to figure out one night to get together, and so your itineraries would help me with that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.